The ninth state in our State of the Union series is South Carolina. Although the Palmetto State has consistently backed Republicans in recent presidential elections, its primaries have shaped the races in both parties. Last weekend, the Republicans chose John McCain, and the Democrats will be making their choices this coming Saturday. And joining me now to discuss what matters to South Carolina's voters is Andrew Gobiel. He is the host and managing editor of The Big Picture, a weekly program about the state's politics produced by ETV. It's my pleasure to welcome him to this week's State of the Union. Hi.
Hey, Leonard, how are you today? And it's, with all due respect, it's Palmetto State. Trust me.
Palmetto. Oh, you see, I know that they're little palms, so I just assumed. But I will say,
and it's actually, that's the palm tree that is on our state's insignia, the Palmetto tree.
Uh-huh. So that's a whole other kind of a flag controversy, which we're not going to get into. Since South Carolina has been a solidly Republican state, is the turnout as high for the Democrats as it is for the Republicans?
Well, the turnout is expected to be higher for the Democrats this time around. The Republicans had a number of things working against them, and I think most of them, at least off the record, would say that a lack of a superstar candidate would turn some of the candidates or turn some of the potential voters back to the Republicans. We had some weather issues here. It's funny, I was listening to the forecast a moment ago for Jersey, and they were talking about an inch or two of snow, which for this New England native is no big deal, but here in the Palmetto State, we get that, and things shut down. Last Saturday, there was a little bit of snow in the highly conservative upstate of South Carolina. So that tended to turn back some of the potential voters. So it looks as if we could possibly see more Democratic voters turning out this time around, perhaps about as many as a quarter of a million on Saturday.
How does the fact that there are no party registrations in South Carolina affect the primaries?
Well, it was interesting in that there was a whole controversy about whether or not the Republican and Democratic primaries would take place on the same day. And South Carolina had achieved some primacy here. We had New Hampshire, of course, and Iowa, Nevada, and South Carolina. But with all of the front-loading efforts, both the Republicans and the Democrats kind of went off on their own to try and figure out a day to have their election. It's an open primary, so that anybody could go vote. But because the state actually ran the Republican primary last week and the Democratic primary this week, they'll have a good record of who, in fact, voted. So more people are interested in this. You may get more moderates, perhaps even some moderate Republicans. I was talking with Senator Barack Obama last night, and he had told me in the past that he is actually going after some of these moderate Republicans to cast their ballots for him on Saturday.
South Carolina's Republican primary has gone to the winner, has gone on to become the eventual nominee every election cycle since 1980. Does that mean the Republican primary is usually more important than the Democratic primary?
You know, that's hard to say. Jimmy Carter used this to his advantage back in 1976. For the more recent years, yes, the Republican primary has always been far more important. As a matter of fact, they used to hold Democratic caucuses. In 2004, they did have a primary. John Kerry kicked off his campaign here in Charleston, South Carolina. But, you know, it is of equal importance, and this is the first opportunity for many across the United States to see a good cross-section of voters go to the polls. New Hampshire, you know, the numbers of African Americans, Hispanics are limited there, the same in Iowa. Here in South Carolina, some half of the registered Democrats or those who participate in the Democratic primary are African American. So you get more of a cross-section of those who are going to vote on the Democratic side.
Now, John McCain won the Republican primary by a margin of just over 3%, not all that big. But if things hold true, then he's going to be the Republican nominee. Have we seen any of the dirty tricks that have been so prominent in previous South Carolina primaries?
Actually, we have. But because of what happened 8 years
ago... I'm not trying to tie that into John McCain, by the way. It just was an unnatural segue there.
Well, no. I mean, I think you should tie it into John McCain because he was victimized by it 8 years ago here in South Carolina. You know, there has been no definitive tie-in to what happened 8 years ago with those push polls talking about the daughter that he and his wife, Cindy, adopted from Bangladesh. There were push polls where people would call up and say, you know, who would you support? John McCain. Well, would you still support him if you knew he had a black child? You know, there were allegations that things like that took place 8 years ago, and although it has never been tied to the Bush campaign and nobody has ever admitted it, John McCain said that this time around he was going to be on guard. They had truth squads out there. They had opposition research squads out there. So there were some allegations of push-pulling over in the most recent Republican event, and I'm sure you're familiar with what's going on with the Democrats right now, with the arguments against race and regarding Senator Clinton and President Clinton and Barack Obama. So everybody's up on guard and trying to protect against that, you know, warning against possible ugly emails and push-pulls.
Weren't some people told that the Democrats should have voted last weekend? And so they to keep them from the polls this weekend?
That was one of the other issues as well. That's not as major a concern, at least that I had heard of. But, I mean, you know, you never know. I was covering, as I had said, Senator Obama last night, and I turned to my photographer, and he said, oh, yeah, Senator Obama was talking about a push poll. And Xavier, my photog, turned to me and said, oh, yeah, I got one of those emails, too. And it just, you never know what they're going to say or what's going to happen. You could receive, you know, there could be a handful of those out there that go to maybe 100 people. There could be one or two that go to a few thousand. So, you know, the issues saying that the Democrats had to go vote in the Republican poll was not that major an issue.
Now, the state's largest newspaper, The State, endorsed John McCain for the Republican nomination, and Senator Obama received its endorsement just yesterday. How important are media endorsements in South Carolina?
You know, you hold as much weight as you would elsewhere. I think that because the candidates have been here for the past 2 years, 3 years, in the case of Mitt Romney, most of the South Carolinians who are going to go vote already have an idea as to, you know, what the topics are or what is most important. You know, there are still a large number of undecided, and whether or not the endorsement from the state newspaper in Columbia or the Post and Courier in Charleston, which has yet to endorse a Democratic candidate, or the Greenville News in the Upstate, which also has not endorsed a Democratic candidate, whether or not they're going to play a major role is still up to question. We in the media, Leonard, like to think that it's very important that people are going to pay attention to what we say, but who's to say?
Well, South Carolina does receive a lot of media attention. Is the primary season a boon to the economy?
It certainly is. Millions and millions of dollars. We were in Myrtle Beach the other night, a very un-Myrtle Beach-like weather night. It was about 29 degrees when I was doing my show out there. And we were just commenting on the number of reporters and consultants and volunteers who are in the state. Millions of dollars has come in. The coffers for both the state Democratic and Republican Party have not necessarily been filled, I'm sure that they would say, but have seen quite an increase because of what has gone on. So, yeah, we're dealing with a possible recession here, but if we could hold a primary here once every 6 months, we'd be good to go.
My guest is Andrew Gobiel, who's the host and managing editor of ETV's The Big Picture. We're talking about the things that matter most to voters in South Carolina. So what are the top three issues that will get at the vote in the state? Is immigration an issue that's played as big a role in the state as it has in others?
Sure. ETV and Winthrop University, which is a state university located just south of Charlotte, we partnered on a series of polls over the past year. And in one of those polls, we took a look at both Democratic and Republican voters. For the Republicans, their top issue was immigration. The Democrats, immigration didn't come in that high. It was health care, it was education, it was the economy. And if you were to ask people right now, it would be the economy, the economy, the economy, with everything that has been going on. But for the Republicans, immigration was a major issue. And you've got to realize that the two United States senators who took leading roles in the immigration debate, and they were actually opposed to each other, Senator Jim DeMint and Senator Lindsey Graham, were both from South Carolina. So for the Republicans, immigration was a major issue. For the Democrats, however, it is. It's going to be education, it's going to be the war in Iraq, and it's going to be the economy.
Does the flap over the Confederate flag suggest that race is still a big issue in the state?
Race will always, it's an issue nationwide, Leonard, you know that, but it will continue to be an issue here, which is why everyone is treading lightly during this election season. You know, the saying, of course, that President Clinton was the first black president in the United States, and you know, that was addressed in the debate the other night in Myrtle Beach by Senator Clinton and Senator Obama. Race is always going to play a major issue in the race, in politics and in everyday life. You know, not only here in Columbia, South Carolina, but I would imagine in Manhattan and in, you know, Boston, Massachusetts, and in Des Moines, Iowa. It's just that, you know, they are going to play a major role when it comes to making the decisions here.
Hasn't the African-American population in the state been declining in recent years, or at least the percentage of African-Americans?
You know, what has been increasing is the number of Hispanics. And the Republican effort years ago, I believe it was 8 years ago, the Republicans actually made a concerted effort to go after them that really has fallen by the wayside. And it goes back to the immigration issue right now. The number of Hispanics in South Carolina is continuing to increase. The number of African Americans in South Carolina is remaining steady for now. But one of the other issues, and I found this rather interesting, CNN's Roland Martin had a great column today on their website about the voters who are really quite forgotten come Saturday. You know, we had years ago the NASCAR dads and the soccer moms. This time around, many here in the media would lend you to believe it is the beauty shop African-American woman, a 50, 55-year-old African-American woman who is trying to decide between her gender and her race. But Roland Martin, in his column today, said, what about the other 50 to 55% of likely voters and Democrats, the whites and the white males? So that could play a major role, especially in light of John Edwards and his improving candidacy here in South Carolina.
Well, yesterday Hillary Clinton was campaigning in California, not in South Carolina. Does that suggest that she expects Barack Obama or John Edwards to take the state?
She would say no, and she has said no definitively in the times that she has been asked that question. We are trying to set up our coverage for Saturday night, and we were a bit concerned when we first heard that she might not be here. But then again, we heard today that she will be here Saturday night. Now, when you've got a surrogate who is a former president of the United States, I think that, you know, it's a unique opportunity for you to present yourself, and you can almost be in two places at once. So I still think that she is going to do well. The latest poll has Senator Obama leading 40 to, I want to say, 32 right now, again, with the margin of error there. But you never know. Senator Obama was leading the polls in New Hampshire, and look who won.
The state is home to several military bases, and you said, of course, the Iraq war will be a big issue in the Democratic primary. Has it been a particularly important issue in South Carolina?
It has. It has. And just as it has resonated across the nation, people are interested in what the plans are. People are concerned about what's going on. And another issue is the domestic assistance for those who are serving overseas right now. The largest contingent of National Guard troops from South Carolina who have been deployed since World War II are now in Afghanistan. So a major issue for them is making sure that their home front, that domestically they're protected, their families are well taken care of. So that is one of the questions that has been asked frequently of the candidates. Where we stand as far as Iraq, again, that's also up for question. Senator McCain, playing on his military background, was eminently successful in going to the large retiree population and specifically the large military population. I think the saying I heard the other day was the retired soldiers beat out the retired Christians in the Republican primary.
Now, the unions can't have much clout in this because, unlike Nevada, where union membership is rising, South Carolina has a very low rate of unionization.
It does. It's a right-to-work state, and one of the reasons why one of our largest employers is here, BMW, in the upstate of South Carolina, which has vastly improved that area, they settled in South Carolina because of the lack of union representation. So, no, unions have absolutely no pull whatsoever. Now, some of the teachers' unions may. But when you think of manufacturing, you think of some of the other areas, no, that's not the case.
What about agriculture, which is a major part of the state's GDP? In fact, tobacco alone represents a quarter of the state's GDP. Is that disproportionately with one party or the other?
You know, it's rather interesting because where you take a look at what is going on right now, the number one agricultural product in South Carolina is not, you know, tobacco or rice, which you might find down in the low country. It's lumber, and the companies of the huge conglomerates that own all of this lumber and timberland, they may be perhaps, and I'm just speaking in my own opinion here, perhaps they might be a little bit more conservative. The family farms are a bit concerned. We actually have a statewide agriculture commissioner. He's elected statewide. He's a Republican. It was a great race this past 2006, and we had a unique Democrat who was trying to present, you know, put South Carolina on your plate and do that. But right now, agriculture hasn't been addressed all that much in the campaign, both in either the Republican or the Democratic campaign.
I misspoke. All of agriculture represents one quarter of the state's GDP.
That's correct. Yeah.
do you think
I wasn't going to correct you on your show, Leonard.
Well, it's okay. When I make a mistake, I want to be corrected. Just one more thing. Mark Sanford, the governor, has been having a contentious relationship with the state legislature. They're all Republicans. And Time magazine named Governor Sanford as one of the three worst governors in 2005. Does that bode ill for the Republicans in this election?
Not necessarily Governor Sanford. He was just elected in 2006 to his second term, and he ran against the legislature, which, as you pointed out, is dominated by Republicans. So we had a unique situation where there were sitting state lawmakers who were opposed to Governor Sanford. The Democratic nominee for the governor's position was a sitting state senator. And I'll never forget looking up at primary night and seeing Senator Tommy Moore, then the potential governor. And I looked over and I saw three or four Republican senators standing behind him, which was rather unique. Is that going to bode poorly for Republicans? I don't think so. There are other issues that are going on right now. And Governor Sanford, with all due respect, and I know you want to wrap this up, recently wrote an editorial in the state newspaper here in Columbia praising where we were as far as race is concerned right now in light of the fact that Barack Obama has such a strong opportunity. And it was rather unique in that this man who had not endorsed anybody on the Republican side was praising Senator Obama.
Well, he is an eccentric governor. In his State of the State address last week, Mark Sanford argued that Bill Tillman, who was governor in the late 19th century, had made governing impossible and argued that the office of the governor should be enhanced. I don't know. I can't see the legislature doing that for him.
No, not at all. It was gentleman, and that's putting it nicely. Pitchfork Ben Tillman was perhaps one of the true manifestations of horrible racist politicians. Back in the late 1890s and when he became a United States senator, he was instrumental in creating the current Constitution back in the 1890s, which renders the governor perhaps the second weakest office in the United States, second weakest governor's office in the United States, because they were concerned that somehow an African-American might be able to take control of the office. This constitutional setup also was done so that more constitutional officers would have enough power, too. So Governor Sanford, who was trying to redo government here in South Carolina, constantly points to this racist who has a statue on South Carolina state grounds as the reason why government is not working in South Carolina.
I want to thank you so much for talking with us. We've been speaking with Andrew Gobiel, who is host and managing editor of ETV's The Big Picture, which is a weekly program about South Carolina's politics. We have learned so much about the Palmetto State. I'm just stunned. Thank you.
Had a great time, Leonard. Thank you very much. Anytime.